It's Tiltcast episode 689, Out Here Slaying Spires.
And this week, guys, we talk more Slay the Spire 2, some Subnautica 2, and talking some news. Stay tuned.
We're back. Thank you. We're back. And we're back.
Woohoo!
It's yet another episode of the Tiltcast. It's an M-rated show. I'm Nos.
I'm Jason, and we're Sands of Rusty.
Yep. For the two of us, you're going to get about, who knows about, of times worth of bullshit.
Bullshit.
But some games, some news. Switching up, we've had a lot go on. I think we explained a little bit of that last episode. I would say from about mid-March till about now, that being late May, things have been pretty nutty. But we are, me and Jason are going to keep going on here for a little bit. Give you guys a little bit more old school, because that's what we like doing. We've got a lot going on, but Jason, you been up to anything interesting?
We do have a lot going on, and, you know, not a ton interesting, just dealing with family life. As the year winds down and everything, I did, Mother's Day, spending Mother's Day doing tree work up at my mother-in-law's to just getting the kids through the last of the school year. Not a whole ton outside just work. I did, at your guys' insistence, end up getting into Slay the Spire 2 over the last few weeks.
Yeah. Me and the girlfriend have been playing a lot of that. I looked at my timer the other day, and I'm at 140 hours, I think. I play that almost every night.
Yeah, and it's been... I mean, it's been great. I like the... you know, the obvious time and care that they put into like the attack animations and stuff like that. They're definitely welcome additions. I do like the I really like the challenge that a lot of the bosses and elites have been, though several of the elites kind of feel a little broken, if I'm honest. Some of them are a little too tough. But I have, regardless, really been enjoying my time with it. I've currently got all of the characters unlocked, though I have yet to beat 4-3 with any of them.
You'll get there.
And unlike with the first game, where I felt like I got through the game with the poison character easier on the first game, that character feels a whole lot harder to complete the game with now. So maybe a shift in
I can give you some
shift in game balance a little bit tougher for that character. But
I can give you some tips, not just on that character, but any of the characters. All of them have like several different core abilities. Mm-hmm. And as you get your early cards, kind of the idea is to, so we'll pick the silence you're talking about.
Yeah.
And there's several different builds that you can build with Silent. You can build a discard build, or a sly build is what it's called. So every time you discard something, you don't have to play the cost of said card. You can play a card build of that, meaning a draw build, which can work with a sly build, which is based around a central power where if you draw cards, you can get two things. You can get block and damage based on how many cards you draw, and it stacks. The Sly build is every time you discard a card that says Sly, it plays it at zero cost. So you play cards that discard another card. So you can play multiple cards in a single turn. You can play a poison build and just go straight poison, or you can play Shiv build. I'm sure there's one other build that I haven't tried yet. Shiv build's based around buffing your Shivs and just getting tons and tons and tons of Shivs so that you can just annihilate stuff. Like there's a Shiv card that lets you use all the Shivs at once in your discard pile. So if you've been Shiving for like 3-4 turns, right, and you've got 10 Shivs in your pile, it uses all 10 Shivs on that same character. Yeah. It just bursts stuff down.
Well, there's a build
I could tell you. I could tell you, obviously, the Shiv build works quite a bit different than what it did in the first game, because you basically had to combine that with poison in the first game.
I
realized very quickly that that wasn't the way to go in this one.
You spread yourself out too thin. So, like, for example, on the poison build, I was playing poison this morning while I was waiting on my girlfriend to wake up. And with the poison build, there's a card that lets you build additional poison if something has already taken poison, and there's a card that lets it trigger twice every turn. So if you got eight, you know, every time it ticks down one less. So let's say I have 8 poison on a character when I play that reapply card. Does the 8 poison first, then 7 poison on the next turn. So it ticks it twice, which is incredibly effective. But if I had spread myself out, I wouldn't be getting those poison cards in sequence. I'm at Ascension level 4 with the Silent right now. It's pretty hard. But that's one of the things that we learned is we were building these really bloated decks, like 40 cards plus, and we'd just get to a point where we weren't balanced enough with our deck to get a block when we needed it or defend when we needed it or attack when we needed it. So with the... With that game, you kind of want to keep your build lean, and then you want to remove a block and a defend every time that you go to the card shop or find a way to get rid of them or upgrade them, right? So if you have upgraded blocks and defends, they're not bad. But, you know, it's a weird balance. It's a weird deck builder. It's a really good deck builder. There are some bosses that are really hard. Every single situation, if you take too long, will kill you. You have to be okay with taking some damage every fight. Block everything, every turn. Like, every enemy has some kind of enrage mechanic. So if you're at, like, 7 turns with an enemy, chances are they're at, like, 10 extra strength. And even this little cute little goober of an enemy is, like, doing, like, 18 damage a hit or something stupid. So everything's a little bit of a DPS race in that game. Or they're, you know, playing cards that do status effects on you. And you got so many of those cards in your pile now that you can't play regular cards.
But I noticed that pretty quick. But, you know, I've been trying to find my way organically without asking for too many tips. You know, and just having fun with it. I don't know about the summoner character, though. I'm still kind of trying to figure it out.
Are you talking about the Necrobinder?
Yes.
There's a few key builds with that. The most powerful build is the Osti build, which is the summon build. The reason that's great is because your character, your summon, isn't affected by debuffs. And they can take hits for you. So every bit of damage that hits the summon first, for the most part, then it hits you. And your summon's health builds between sessions. So, like, if you got 20 health in that summon, right, take 7 damage, now you've got 13 health. That lasts into the next round, which is super important. It's better than block. But, the summon builds are pretty crazy, because he can just absorb everything for you and do some crazy damage, too. So, that's probably the best... I'd say it's probably the best Necrobinder build. Total is probably the summon build. There's a Doom build. Doom's a whole different mechanic that's pretty hard to kind of figure out. It works okay, but poison's honestly way better. Kind of feel like they need to rework Doom to do something else other than tick after the enemy plays their turn, because, like, poison plays before the enemy plays. Doom, on the other hand, waits till the enemy plays, then applies.
and all you're doing is lowering the max health of a character. So I feel like if the character is below max health by the time that by the time it's their turn, they shouldn't be alive. And that really should be a thing.
Yeah. True. And, you know, just the overall, the overall difficulty of this game's definitely ramped, but I mean, still really, really enjoyable. So just going to keep grinding at it and until I figure out what works best.
Well, if you haven't already, I know Game Pass price has dropped considerably. I say considerably by several dollars. Subnautica 2's on Game Pass right now. I know there's a whole lot of extra stories around Subnautica 2. Not really the point. Point is, it feels like more Subnautica. I've got, I don't know, 10 hours in it so far. I've been kind of plucking at it a little bit. It's a pretty good game. Like, it, again, I've already kind of got a little base going. I'm already, like, trying to find where the next, like, tech tree stuff is. The abilities are different. You have a, like, if you get too sick, so, like, you have to absorb, you have to rewrite your DNA by finding certain items on the planet that let you rewrite your DNA. So, like, at first you can't eat until you touch something that, like, you absorb, it rewrites your DNA. Now you can eat all of a sudden, right? You can't breathe enough. The air pressure is too high, so you have to alter your DNA at the very beginning of the game to get yourself in a place where you can actually breathe air. It's strange, but I don't know how far out it goes yet, but I'm going to try. I think, like, it's still kind of the same thing, right? You go scan things, and it gives you the blueprint unlock. There's materials all over the place. All of your basic materials are basically where you thought there would be. A quick tip is quartz is found in the coral. Look on the shiny side where the pearls would be, and you'll find your quartz. Really big. Big thing for me for a while, because I was having such a hard time with the quartz. But, like, the overall Subnautica, though, is I think it sold, like, 4 million units. I think it's because people are really, really, really ready for a survival game like that. Like, there's nothing quite like Subnautica. Yeah, the, like, pre-sequel or whatever they did before, in between games, it's all right, but I never went back to it like I went back to Subnautica proper. Like, Subnautica proper, I've probably played through several times in the early access, and then finally released, I played the hell out of it.
Yeah.
It's not a particularly hard game, it's just there's always, like, progression and exploration, and that's a pretty cool thing. But Subnautica 2 is more Subnautica, and I don't think anybody's going to hate on that. And a lot of the same kind of tactics, right? Like, a little bitty, like, opening in the rocks leads to a huge underground chamber, or underwater chamber. So, I just got my diving upgrade. I got to figure out this diving elevator or whatever that I just unlocked and see what that does. But, like, Subnautica 2 is freaking awesome. Yeah, and in the world of games, like, that's honestly what I've been playing. Do you wanna take a quick break, and then we'll talk about the news for a minute?
Sure.
All right, guys, we'll be right back. Back.
Woohoo!
Do some jumping jacks. Didn't sleep very much last night.
And I slept too much last night.
I'm a little jelly.
Polar opposites.
Yeah, I went to bed almost when the sun was coming up. Anyways, Slay the Spire. Anyways,
We got some news for you guys. There's a couple things going on. Talk about that Star Citizen money pit.
Dude, it keeps growing and growing. How nobody has gone after these developers for not releasing a finished product yet is beyond me. But last week, us recording on a Sunday, Star Citizen crossed the $1 billion funding barrier.
You gotta be kidding me.
No, I'm not. And on top of that, this weekend, that coincided with them releasing a $5,000 spaceship you can't even fly in game yet.
It really feels like a pyramid scheme at this point.
It really does. The developer, Cloud Imperium Games, quote, makes funding available to track publicly via its website, which, I mean, they do. It shows all of their revenue made down to the hour. And the DefenseCon in-game event this last week pushed their funding over the $1 billion mark with $6.6 million raised in just 1 hour this morning. So that's huge.
You know what's crazy is if you go on the internet and start talking any kind of shit about this game, there is somebody in the comments that's like, they're promising so much. It's going to be revolutionary, blah, blah, blah. You can already do this. It's like, what are you doing the game right now?
You basically don't do a whole lot. You know, like they do have in early access, there is some flying you can, quote, do with certain spaceships. And there's some missions you can do, but those missions are still fundamentally broken and really can't be completed. I mean, let's face it. This is one of the most controversial projects in video games ever.
I can't believe it's still going on.
It was announced back in, what, 2012?
I'm in my 40s, and it was announced in my 20s.
It's been 14 years since a crowdfunding campaign started. Rightfully, a lot of the criticism focuses on these ships that are being sold as crowdfunding tiers that people aren't even able to fly in the state the game is currently in. Let me fix my phrasing there. And today's financial milestone, like I said, comes as this new $5,000 spaceship goes on sale. It's called the Anvil Odin. It's a capital ship that is a, quote, limited vehicle concept pledge, according to the developer. And this means that the ship is in development. It's not ready to be deployed in the game. And will only be available as playable content in a later patch. Apparently this thing's a battle cruiser. It's meant to crew like 65 plus players. But still, just the fact that this game has raised $1 billion through crowdfunding and is still in a fairly broken alpha state is just mind-boggling.
It really is. When it first was announced, I was really excited about it because it was being made by the same people that Roberts Industries, I think, is what it's called. The same people made Wing Commander. I was a big Wing Commander fan when I was a kid, like a young kid. And both the Super Nintendo one and the one with like 90,000 CD-ROMs because they had FMV with Mark M on it. At this point, like $1 billion has been sunk into this game. And honestly, if you think about the amount of years, it's not that much per year to run that company.
No. And
they've got
We're talking about a game that they initially slated for release in 2016. It's now 10 years later. And they still have no set release date.
Yes, you can get like Squadron 32 or whatever it is that they've got in the works.
Yeah, they do have Squadron 42 coming. They're saying it's in the closest stages of development. And what Squadron 42 is basically a... like a single player campaign within the Star Citizen setting per se. But I mean, even if that launches, that's not what all these people paid for. These people have been paying for Star Citizen, which still isn't even out. And so you're going to protect yourself, quote, try to protect yourself from, you know, public or even legal scrutiny by releasing this Squadron 42. It's a huge cop out, and I don't see why people keep giving them money. Really don't. I know none of us have, so there's that.
I'm not. If they release a full game and it looks cool, sure. But right now, I'm not engaging in the money pit.
No. Nope. Not at all.
I think I've gotten over the... There's too much that releases for me to get FOMO over stuff.
Right. So, but coincidentally, as Star Citizen crosses $1 billion worth of funding, according to... recent financial reports, Ubisoft, at the close of their fiscal year, March 31st, reported operating losses that reached 1.32 billion euros over the fiscal year. And that's up from the previous fiscal year where they reported 196 million in losses.
Oh, that's up 1,000%. Yeah. Nobody's playing Ubisoft games, and they've been like writing this whole subscription model thing for a while to get Ubi Plus, right? And they've bloated out their Assassin's Creed games to give people a reason to continue to play them, and there are people doing it, but not a lot. A lot of us that have given the finger to Ubi because they just lost track of quality. Somewhere in the last 10 years, they've lost track of what made their games good to begin with. And it wasn't Climbing Towers and it wasn't Mission Bloat. Like, honestly, it's like Assassin's Creed, the French one.
Well,
like, it's been a mess.
You're thinking of Unity there, sir.
It's been that long.
And, I mean, realistically, this is in spite of the fact that Ubisoft laid off like 1,200 people over the last year. They've They've still, despite that, because of their game releases being as poor as they have been, their overall console and PC game sales decreased by 5 million over the fiscal year.
It should tell you something that they're doing a remake. And what remake are they doing right now? Black Flag, probably the last good Assassin's Creed game.
Right.
Like, actually, truly great Assassin's Creed game.
Yeah, their unique number of users dropped from 136 million to 129 million people. Somehow they still have 36 million people subscribe to their monthly service, UB Plus
I was going to say, you can have an UB account, and then you have to have an UB account with Game Pass to play the UB stuff.
Yeah. But I just don't see how they can really dig themselves out at this point. They would have to make not only a complete refocus, but they really need a new IP to come out and hit like Assassin's Creed 2 did, almost two decades ago now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's... Unfortunately, I feel like that's kind of where Ubi's at, and I don't see... it's hard to see where they survive for a lot longer. Which is the same. Shame, because at one time they were a great game studio, and now they're just they're trying to stay alive on past successes.
Well, I guess we'll just see, right? We've got plenty of things coming out this year that are pretty interesting. Let's just see what happens. And we will report on it, because I think we're all in a state where we're only playing the stuff that we think we're going to sink time in.
Pretty much, and especially, sorry to say this, guys, but with the financial world creeping around the way that it is, you might hear us talking more about our backlogs or replays of our favorite games versus... versus really playing a whole lot of new stuff.
Well, we'll get to that. Like I said, lots of Slay the Spire in my future right now, playing Monster Train 2, Subnautica 2, lots of 2s there. Still working through Mugenix. I got a lot of roguelites in my catalog right now. And I'll be traveling to West Virginia here in a couple of days, so I'll probably be playing Mugenix or Monster Train. Regardless, though, we'll keep you up to date. We'll continue to give you more information that we can, or as much information as we can, and continue to give you guys honest reviews. But
absolutely.
With that, Jason, where can you find us?
Find us at tiltcast.com. Find us on Facebook and twitter.com/tiltcast. Our YouTube channel is youtube.com/tiltcastshorts with a Z. And find us on iTunes and Spotify. Subscribe.
Find friends of the show. You've got For the Love of Gaming. You've got Picking Up the Pixels or Pupcast and TVGP.TV. They do great things. With that, it's the end of the show.
All right. Peace.